I must have been about 5 or maybe 6 years old. It's hard to say exactly. It was a Palm Sunday. And there was to be a great procession of kids into the sanctuary carrying palm branches. The older kids were directed to wave their branches and to cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna," as they entered, while the rest of us younger ones were just to carry our branches and wave them back and forth. It was pageantry. It was dramatic. It was fun. I was having a ball. And I always wanted to be like the bigger kids, like my brother who got to cry, "Hosanna," as he marched. And for some reason, Hosanna sounded like Susanna to me. And so, as Mom tells it, and sadly, I don't really remember this, as Mom tells it, as we were marching down to the front, I was shouting, "Oh, Susanna, oh, Susanna," as we went down, and it gets better. We got down to the front, and as the music quieted down and the kids were lined up in front, everybody, and I mean everybody in the sanctuary, could hear me shouting, not "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." No, I was singing, "Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me, 'cause I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee." Oh, boy. And with that, my brother reached way over the line of kids and whacked me on the arm. And I turned and hit him over the head with my palm branch. Whoops. I tried to be good. Palm Sunday is always fun. It's fun for kids. It's fun for pastors. It might even be fun for parents and grandparents and all other adults. It's a strange mixture of both joy and celebration on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's a sad, painful recognition that the joy of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem in less than a week leads to a betrayal, an arrest, a travesty of injustice, an unjust and illegal trial before the Sanhedrin, which was the council of the religious leaders, another trial before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, a cruel, vicious, tortuous, meaningless, needless whipping, scourging, beating. People crying for the release of a thief rather than Jesus. And even worse, crying for Jesus' execution. The Roman governor ordering it, and the Roman soldiers actually doing it, crucifying, killing, murdering Jesus. The very man all these people were greeting on Sunday with palm branches and accolades of Hosanna, which means Savior, save us. This very man whom the people were following and proclaiming the Son of David, proclaiming the Anointed One of God, the Mashiach, the Christ. This very man who had taught the people so much about God's love, about God's grace, about God's forgiveness, and the way God wants us to live, and how God wants us to treat others. This very man who had healed the sick, caused the blind to see, fed the hungry, walked on water, and even raised the dead. This very same man who they praised on Sunday, this same people, just a few days later, would cry out, "Crucify him." How did they go from "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," to "Give us Barabbas"? and crucify him. How did we get there? For let's not mince words here, we are there too. In the Gospels, which are literary works, the various characters that we find there are often used as literary devices, as stand-ins for us. We can see ourselves repeatedly in the various disciples, in the people who encounter Jesus throughout his ministry. The reader is supposed to see themselves in these characters. They're supposed to hear the stories read and visualize and experience them as if they were part of the story. In the people's good responses, in their poor responses, in being healed and being cared for and being fed and being taught and being challenged. When Jesus heals a sick person, teaches the crowd, feeds the 5,000, calms the stormy sea, in each and every story, the reader is invited to enter into the story. The hearer is invited to experience Jesus personally. And where we are, at any given moment in our lives, when we're reading or hearing the gospel story, will determine the role that we take. That's what I mean when I say that the disciples and the rest of the characters in the gospel stories are all stand-ins. For us, we can see ourselves in these stories. It's the way this kind of literature was written. It's among the reasons why these stories have been so powerful throughout the centuries, because they become personal stories for us. Personal experiences, spiritual experiences, in which we can see ourselves and place ourselves and experience the stories as our own story. Well, here's one of those stories. And through the story's pageantry, we place ourselves into it, welcoming Jesus with cries of Hosanna, Savior, save us. This is what we did this morning. Enacting the story as the people of Jerusalem as part of the crowd. And part of that crowd, many of the very same people who cried Hosanna may well have been among the crowds who just a few days later would cry, crucify him. Why? And why do we welcome salvation on one day, but then seemingly by our actions, our inactions, our words, and our bigotries and prejudices, why do we reject salvation on another day? That is what we're doing, by the way. It's what we do when we sin, when we turn away from the way of life that Jesus called us to live. When we refuse to forgive, when we refuse to give a cup of water in Jesus' name, when we refuse to move out and among the people and make friends of our fellow sinners, when we hold it to ourselves, we're not doing and living the way Jesus taught us to live. It's what we do when we're self-centered rather than outwardly turned toward others. Remember, sin is not so much the various things that we do that some people consider bad. Sin is missing the mark of God's will and way and love for us. Sin is failing to live in God's will, failing to follow the way that God has for us to live, being open and receptive to loving others, and as Christ has loved us, loving others. When we fail to live that way. We're sinning. What we're doing every time we sin, every time we don't strive toward God's greatest good for us and for others, is we're crying, crucify him. Why do we do that? That's a serious question, friends. Throughout Lent, we've been considering the promises that we make when we join the church. We promise to support the church. And that means supporting each other through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. These promises are outwardly turned toward others, toward the betterment of others, toward the life of the church, toward its missions and its ministries. These promises are also means of grace for us, through which we are strengthened, through which we are spiritually nourished to live as part of the family of God, and through which we give God's grace to others, the gift of God's love, favor, forgiveness, acceptance, affirmation. When we make these promises, when we keep these promises, we are with the crowds crying, Hosanna. When we fail to keep them, when we forget to keep them, when we actively decide not to keep them, we are at best like when I was a kid hitting my brother over the head with a palm branch. And at worst, we're with the crowds crying, crucify him. Oh, Greg, that seems really harsh. Perhaps. But when we are passive, when we fail to act, when we fail to participate, we are hurting ourselves more than anything else. When we cry, Hosanna, we're crying for salvation. Hosanna in Hebrew means save us, deliver us, rescue us. It was part of the reading from the Psalm passage today. We're recognizing our need for grace and that the source of grace is in God and our experience of God in Jesus the Christ. When offered the grace and not partaking of it, we're hurting ourselves and others. The crowds in Jerusalem went from Hosanna to crucify him. What will we do? What will we cry? On Maundy Thursday, when we gather together for the Lord's Supper to remember the gift of God's grace and God's love in Christ Jesus through bread and cup, what will we cry? Will we cry, save us? On Good Friday, when we journey to the stations of the cross, who will we be in the stories? Will we be the disciple who betrayed Jesus? The disciples who ran in the arrest, the soldiers who arrested him, the disciple who denied him, the religious leaders who convicted him, the people who cried, crucify him, the Roman governor who sentenced him to death, the Roman soldiers who whipped him, the women of the city who cried for him and with whom he spoke, the man who helped him carry his cross, the Roman soldiers who drove the nails into his flesh, the people who derided him, the thieves on the cross who chided him or asked him to remember them, the people who mourned him, the Roman soldier who recognized him as the Son of God, the people who took him down from the cross, who anointed his body and buried him. Who will we be? What will we cry? Come Good Friday. Ponder this question this Holy Week. Allow God's grace to make you ready for the grace of God on Monday, Thursday, for the death of Christ on Good Friday, and for the hope, the joyful hope, the life-transforming hope of the love of God in Jesus Christ in His resurrection on Easter Sunday. Consider these questions in prayer this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.